Welcome, everyone, to episode 306 of After the Credits. Yes, we're not dead. My name is Marina Antunes. I am one of your co-hosts, joined today by fellow co-hosts. Start with you, Bill, since you're on the side of the screen.
Bill Harris, one day we're actually going to figure out an order here. One day.
Steve Stebbing. Yeah, we should figure out that order.
And Melissa McDowell.
We only know that when we wrap up, we can't let Steve go first. That's the only rule here.
Right, that's the only concrete rule at this point.
Yeah, whenever we talk credentials, Steve has to go last.
Pretty much at this point, yes.
I'll accept that.
So it's been a hot minute since we recorded, but you know, we have reasons for that, which are not movie related. So actually they are. I went to a film festival, so that's kind of fun.
Did you watch any movies?
Of course I watched movies. I went to a film festival.
No, but I thought you were like just networking and...
No. I actually did go to find feature films. I didn't watch as many movies as I'd hoped. And I have lots of reasons to complain about it because... Can I just vent for a minute? Annecy blows. I went to Annecy.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I went to a film festival. Yeah. Meanwhile, before we started recording, you were talking about how it was the con of animation film festivals.
And it totally is. Yeah. It totally is. Like, the credentials are there. It has the movies. It has the creators. Their programming, as far as, like, delivering that content, blows. Because every movie starts late. You can't stay in the theater once the movie ends. And more than once, I literally missed a movie because the movie before it ran half an hour late because they started late and didn't tell us why they were starting late. And then they have the director's Q&As at the beginning instead of at the end. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense to me.
What?
So every movie, that's why they're always late.
Yeah. And this is exactly it. The movies all start half an hour to 45 minutes late. And then as a pass holder, because it's so busy, they only hold pass holder seats because you have to pre-book your tickets anyways and you can only watch three movies a day, which Bill would fucking hate. you basically, if you don't show up 10 minutes before, you don't get to see the movie anyways, because now you are at the back of the queue. You're never going to get a seat. So I was very upset. I still complain about it because I think it's ridiculous. But I did get to see some good stuff, so I'll talk about some of it later. But it's
it's like that unwritten rule at VIFF. Don't see an Iranian film at 9:30 at VIFF.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ever. Because it's starting at 11.
Yeah. So this is the same. Like, don't plan on, like, if you have less than an hour between movies, you are not getting to your second movie. Period. Not happening.
Nice.
And of course, because you can only see three things a day, you can only register for three projects a day. If you book your tickets way in advance, because you need to in order to build your schedule, you can't, once I figured this out, I couldn't get into anything else. So I was kind of stuck. So yeah, I missed a bunch of movies that I really wanted to see, but it's okay. We made up for it. We did lots of drinking. Day drinking in Annecy is not so bad.
I'm sure the food was terrible too, right?
Oh, the food was awful. Parties were terrible. The networking was terrible. It was just bad all around.
I see through your sarcasm.
I hope you yelled at them in French appropriately.
I didn't speak enough French to bitch about it, but I did complain to pretty much anybody that I met that was part of the festival organizing team. Like, guys, this is not how you run a festival. I don't think they care. I don't think they care.
Have you guys seen the shorts movie Paris Je T'aime? Margot Martindale's in France with her like French translation book, trying to speak in French.
Yeah.
Tell me you were like that.
No. That would have been great. No. Sadly not. Cool. Sadly not. I don't know. Everybody complained. Like, they all warned me, like, oh, you know, in Paris, people don't like it when you speak English. Everybody was really nice. Like, I tried. My French isn't like super terrible. I just don't speak a lot of it. And I can understand people if they speak slowly enough, but it was fine.
I don't think they're as rude about it as they are in like Montreal, to be honest. So
probably not. I've never been to Montreal, so I don't know, but I'm sure you're probably right because everybody was very, very nice. But okay, that's enough of that. I watched a lot of movies. Let's just say that.
Well, yeah, Marina, you were there. I saw The Flash.
Okay? Oh God.
Oh.
Am I going to have to kill a movie already? Or am I going to have to like, literally put a bullet in this movie already? Because I've been waiting to.
All I know is that it opened. There was a bunch of stuff that opened while I was gone that I haven't seen. I probably won't see for a while. But I did find out while I was there that there's a new Xavier Jean movie, and I was really excited about it.
Yes. Very cool. Yeah, it's playing Fantasia.
Right? Probably. I think it's called like Kerrang or something. It looks really awesome. I'm like, oh my God, like breaking news. Yeah, I think so. Kerrang. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, not spelled the same.
Damn it.
I have a picture of it somewhere. I was very excited walking the subways going, oh my God, a new Xavier Jean movie. Okay, that's beside the point.
Okay, now I'm just curious. Steve, you have the floor. Go.
Oh, for the Flash? Oh. My God. So, I mean, just like another problematic film from DC. And it's like, I don't know. This is different than the Justice League, though, because we have like just like a side of people that are praising this movie like it's so great. It's ugly to look at, completely, just like the most hideous looking film. The CG is like
trash.
nightmare trash. Babies, CG'd babies in microwaves. I mean
he's not joking.
No, I'm not joking whatsoever. Like, that's, I'm sorry. That's a spoiler.
That's not a metaphor. That's an actual thing.
It's a spoiler. Great. The movie struggles to find a tone. Is this a comedy we're watching? Is this big superhero action film? They bring characters in for no purpose other than to just, like, crumple them up and throw them away. Like, all this excitement for Michael Keaton Batman, for Supergirl, all this stuff that comic book nerds are like really like into, fuck nothing. It just means nothing. And by the end, the movie means nothing. And this film, for being a blockbuster film, and there are so many of them out there, has the ugliest and stupidest final shot I have ever seen in a movie before.
Whew.
I hate this movie. And it's a movie that I disliked when I got out of the theaters when the credits rolled. And then the more I like sat in my own movie juices about it, I just started to loathe and despise this film. So, yeah, I it probably sounds like I'm being really mean to this movie, but I feel like the chip coming off my shoulder about it. I feel like better now. It's therapy.
I'm kind of grossed out by your movie juices, but
that is fair. All right, that is fair, sir.
It's fair. I didn't think it was terrible. I think you're being a little mean. You can't tell me Michael Keaton didn't rule.
It did to see him, but what they did with him once he was there was so unsatisfying.
It just felt like
so many ways.
He was just so much better than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good to see him, and he played the role really well. And it's hard not to dislike Ezra. He's kind of annoying.
Two of them.
It's two of them. And the other one is really trying to be annoying. Mission accomplished.
Actively.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There are screwball scenes in that movie that have no point to them whatsoever. Zero point. Just to be there, just to do it. And like, I'm really fearful about the future if Andy Muschietti now has Batman Brave and the Bold. I don't have faith in that movie whatsoever.
Does anybody have any faith left in DC at this point? And I'm a DC fan.
The legacy stuff is kind of interesting to me, especially the casting Aquaman news today. And I dig Aquaman too.
Yeah. No, but like it's not great. I'll give you that. But I did like some stuff in it. Like, I kind of like the story. Like, the whole, like, the getting to try to find a universe where his mother lives and all this stuff. I thought that was kind of, you know, we've seen it before. We know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
It looks terrible. Everything about it looks terrible. It's not well shot. There is a baby in a microwave. No joke.
But trying to be a joke?
This is not Fast X, man. This is actually okay. Like, there's nothing great about it. It's very Justice League. Like, this is very plain, or Suicide Squad or whatever. All the DC movies, they're all not good, but they're not terrible either. Like even Dawn of Justice wasn't that bad, but it was still kind of not good. But yeah, I didn't think it was bad. Everybody's hating on it. I'm not really a DC fan, so maybe that's my thing. But I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna shit on it.
It didn't even feel like a being a comic book guy, it didn't even feel like a Barry Allen story.
Yeah,
like this Barry Allen is like, he wouldn't pursue this line. Like the Flashpoint shit was right in front of them to do, and they didn't.
Yeah,
like that's so annoying. It's so annoying.
So Steve's alluded to the final shot. You know that was hidden until the movie opened.
Really?
If you saw a press screening of the film, it did not have the final shot of the film.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, they hid it.
Wow.
And then when they finally showed it, everybody just kind of went, wah, wah.
Yeah, it is a trumpeter for sure.
Yeah.
Hold that back?
Yeah. Ugh. But yeah, you guys are probably going to be like, oh, this sounds like it's – I need to see what this ending is. No, you don't. It's really terrible. No. It's not like you want to see Jason Momoa in Fast X because he's kind of fun. This movie is you don't want to don't tread on this one. It's fine, but
I really don't understand how this even got released after everything that went down with Ezra Miller. To be totally honest with you, I mean that was just.
I don't think they could afford
$250 million.
Yeah. And they already scrapped one movie.
Yeah.
Entirely. No one ever gonna see that movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Batgirl one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which disappoints me because I'm like,
because it was probably better.
Well, yeah.
It was probably a better movie.
And it's that thing of when somebody takes something away from you, you're like, well, let me see it. I want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, like the Snyder Cut.
Ugh, I would watch any of these movies over watching the Snyder Cut again.
Oh, you guys. Okay.
We're going to get this podcast murked now because we just talked about Zack Snyder on the internet of all places. Oh, no.
I like the Snyder Cut.
Me too. Like, what could I say? I'm a fan.
Me and Melissa to the end.
I find the whole, like, rabid fanboy thing hilarious. Like,
I think that's totally stupid, but that doesn't detract from the fact that I like the movie. And I'll watch The Flash eventually. The timing just hasn't worked out.
I just don't think Zack Snyder's a good filmmaker.
You know
Take
he's not.
Back. Oh, come on.
I did like Watchmen, though. I really did.
Watchmen's good.
Watchmen's good. Dawn's good. And 300 is worse and worse every time I see it.
It is not. It is not.
It's a 45-minute movie in slow motion.
Okay, I'll give it that, but it's not necessarily a bad movie.
Like, come on.
I don't know.
That's my brush with fame. My chiropractor worked on Gerard Butler and most of the cast of 300 when they were filming it here because those capes weighed 50 pounds, apparently. And so, nice. Like, they were all squirt, like, all of them had, like, body problems and had to go in for adjustments all the time.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
The shit you learn listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's because they had to overcompensate with their painted on abs.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's move on from shitting on Zack Snyder and The Flash. What's next?
I apologize, but not really.
It totally is your fault. Okay. Yes. What's next? What else do you guys got? Oh, I know.
Okay, go.
Mission Impossible. No spoilers.
I saw it last night.
I know you guys did. So.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm just like the right person, but everything just like hits right with these movies to me. It's just like it's a well-oiled machine that's just putting out action intrigue masterpieces. Just like poo, poo. And I'm just like pulling it all up. Yeah, Tom Cruise. I feel like all of the cast works for their own respective parts in this one, especially the women cast. I think all excel in this. They look fantastic in this film. And I don't know. They're extremely likable, even if you're a villain. You know, like Vanessa Kirby is freaking awesome. I adore her in pretty much everything she's done. And Pom Klettenhoff, love her. absolutely love her. And to see her do something beyond, you know, Mantis is also very, very cool. I dig this. And Tom Cruise and Chris McCrory are just like such a perfect pair.
Would it have been better if you hadn't seen John Wick 4?
There, I mean, some of the action wise, yeah. Because, I mean,
it's similar.
Yeah.
Some of it is similar.
Yeah.
No spoilers. But it's fine. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was good as the last two. Also, would have been nice to not have had that scene spoiled in an EPK before a movie 6 months ago. I saw Tom Cruise jump off a mountain 6 months ago in front of an IMAX movie.
Yeah.
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 Why can't companies hide anything anymore? Like, how cool would it have been in The Flash if we had no idea Michael Keaton was there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we just walked in and watched it. Or, we watched a Fast and the Furious film and our favorite Tokyo Drift guy just suddenly shows up.
Thanks for the spoiler. Like, fuck you.
That was two movies ago.
But no. I lost track at like eight. I have no idea.
It's a good movie, and Tom works his ass off. And he is a really – you can tell this is his baby, and he wants everything to be perfect. And it is a really nice-looking film. The females really kick ass, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I wish there was more Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames because they disappear for half the film. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. It's really good. There's nothing really wrong with these films. There never is. You always know what you're getting with these films, and they always deliver. And I hope you guys like them.
Mm-hmm. It's a theater's movie. It's like you want the optimum every bell and whistle you can get in the theater movie. Like it's the shit. I don't know. It's one of my favorites. I'm going next week.
It's happening for me. I wouldn't miss it. I will say I watched a 20-minute like interview style behind the scenes making of thing that Film 4 did. Which is on YouTube, and I don't know how recent it is. It's really good. So I'll link to it in the show notes. They talk to basically like the director, Tom Cruise, and all the actors. And it's really interesting to hear them talk about the making of the movie because we don't get making ofs anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is the closest we get to it.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird when you hear that Tom Cruise is angry that he's going to lose all the IMAX screens to Oppenheimer. And then you see him on Twitter with tickets to Oppenheimer and Barbie, trying to act like he's friends now.
I know.
You know, down deep in his soul that he wants to just destroy those films.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I have no issues with that.
At the same time though, he loves movies, right? So he's like, I think that's probably it's probably a war in his mind of like, they're gonna push my movie out of IMAX screens, but also at the same time is like, people are going to the movies. Like, so he's like excited at, you know, and as much as I like have my qualms with Tom Cruise as a human being on this planet and Scientology and all of that stuff, just as a film fan, I am super grateful to that man for just his love for film, and because that's what's keeping it all alive. So
yeah,
I'm pretty pumped about that.
I'm with
Agreed.
You there.
Agreed.
What else do you guys have?
Can I talk to Mona for a sec?
Steve, go for Steve, it. Kill your list and then I'll do mine.
Kill my list? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Blue Sky, I guess, had this movie dumped. I read something that Disney had.
So let me explain the history of this. Blue Sky was bought by Disney. Disney fired everybody, closed the studio, and pretty much every project that was in production at Blue Sky got axed. Nimona was one of them. Nimona was actually well into production or pre-production, I guess, when Blue Sky closed. And the movie was basically left without a home and Netflix picked it up, which is how it ended up at Netflix.
And I just don't see a lot of push behind it. No one's really talking about it, which is in my eyes, so sad. I asked Netflix for an early look at this movie and I didn't watch a trailer, didn't even read what it was about. I just pressed play and I really fell for this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. And a big part of it is great voice casting and chemistry within that with Riz Ahmed and Chloe Grace Moretz. they're so much fun, and the script is so great, and the animation really pops and is really eye-catching and everything. And I like this kind of futuristic but knight's world. And I mean, maybe some of the story elements are a little bit flimsy, but the heart is where it kind of succeeds a lot. And yeah, I was basically pushing this movie on anybody that would listen. I really enjoyed it.
It's gonna do okay. Animation fans have latched onto it. It's gonna
good.
Be fine.
good because yeah, I just don't feel like there was a lot of attention being paid to it. I also Blue Jean, this film that takes place in the Thatcher era of new laws being basically to push the queer community out. And Rosie McEwen in this film is the main character, who's like a gym teacher that's trying her damnedest to hide the secret that she's a lesbian. But the two sides are just too big to stop. And such a good, solemn performance, a very guarded performance that I really liked. And I hadn't seen her before in anything. And I really, really dug this film. And the director, Georgia Oakley, definitely someone to pay attention to in the future, for sure. Surprises last month for me, and I might get laughed on both of these, but Transformers Rise of the Beasts, I liked. And No Hard Feelings, I really, really liked as well. So I don't know where I'm resting on those two right now, but
okay. I don't know. Okay. This is between Steve and I. Transformers, the final shot. How hard were you laughing?
I was like, I was like in such disbelief. But then I remembered the Hasbro tag at the beginning of the film, and I went, oh, yeah.
I just like, I said, you know what? Somebody told me I had to see the film just for the final shot. And I'm like, okay. So I went and saw it, and it is quite possibly the most laughable scene in a movie I've seen in a very long time. You guys, it's terrible. The movie sucks.
No surprise, right? Come on, seriously. It's fucking Transformers.
I know.
In one episode, we've now had the worst ever final shot and the most laughable ever final shot. Okay. That's a lot of superlatives going on in this episode, folks.
One thing I will say about this Transformers film is that I can actually fucking see it. Because Michael Bay didn't direct it.
Yeah.
Where is Michael Bay? Like, in all honesty, what has happened to Michael Bay? Did he die?
No, he made Netflix movies. He made Six Underground and something else. Netflix.
Okay.
He's getting trashed by
Ambulance was his last movie, which is actually, I liked Ambulance.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. He's getting trashed by that Ben Affleck meme on Twitter from the Armageddon commentary where it just destroys Michael Bay. So good. Transformers is crap. Steve's wrong. Sorry, buddy. But I'm still waiting for Melissa to talk about No Hard Feelings, but I just don't think that's going to happen episode.
It's not going to happen, really. No. I'm probably never going to see it.
I was actually kind of not a fan of this one either. I thought it was funny for a bit and then kind of lost its edge, and I didn't like the redemption angle. I just didn't. I thought she's really good in the film. Mm-hmm. And she obviously really likes Eastern Promises, wink. And Steve knows what I'm talking about.
Not in a bathhouse.
No, it's all Jennifer Lawrence, and she's really great. I just didn't think the film quite kept up with her. But that's just me. I know lots of people who liked it.
I think the kid steals the movie quite a bit.
Yeah, if anything, I think
he's really great. There's this when he goes to the bar, when he meets her at the bar, it's so I was laughing so hard in that scene. I don't know.
Yeah. There is some laughs, I will give you that, but I think they dry up pretty fast. Anything else?
I'm batting like 187 right now.
It's murder. Should I go? Okay. I saw Elemental, the new Disney Pixar film. It's completely forgettable. remember when Pixar used to be good? Like, yes. Oh no, this is not a joke. This seems like a movie that would have been torn apart by Pixar 10 years ago and not made. It's like they've lost their mojo. It's missing something. And it's just incredibly ordinary. It looks nice. Even kids are kind of like, meh. Like, there's nothing there. I just wasn't a fan. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but it did nothing for me.
Yeah, I didn't even have any interest in it. Yeah.
Asteroid City is probably the most disappointing film I've seen this year. Full stop. And this is coming from a Wes Anderson fan who I think is pretty much five-starred every film he's made except for French Dispatch. And maybe Steve Zissou. But it's incredibly pretty to look at. And if that's all you have, that's all this film has. There's no likable characters. They're all incredibly wooden. There's no characters to latch onto. I don't know if Jason Schwartzman's supposed to be the main character, but he talks to a character through a window for half the film, and it's just boring. There's nothing there. But at the same time, if you like a really pretty film, you might like this film because people seem to like it. I don't know why. I haven't figured it out yet. I know last episode Marina's like, I just don't get Wes Anderson, and I'm starting to maybe think that because I really didn't like Fresh Dish. I hated Fresh Dispatch too, so I just I'm losing it.
No, I don't think that's true though. Like, still Royal Tenenbaums and Moonrise Kingdom are two of my all-time faves. Like, they're just brilliant movies to me. There's so much to emotionally connect to those two films. And I think that's why, for me, Asteroid City was a big miss because, I mean, on the surface, this is a story about grief. Yeah. But it's a complete emotional miss. And I don't really understand, like, there's rave reviews and, like, a lot of reviewers that I actually really respect are really into this movie. And I think it's because it's really, like, smart. Like, the script is really smart because it's, like, a television show about a play within a play. And there's, like, all of this, like, meta bullshit happening. And so, like, there's like, a lot of cleverness, I guess, that's a part of it. But for me, it missed because if you're doing a film about grief and the emotional connection with the audience is not happening, what the hell are you doing? Like, what is the point of it? It was like, that was really sad for me because I love Wes Anderson movies. And I was really looking forward to seeing this. And it was just a big miss for me.
All the actors are not good in the film. And then Adrian Brody shows up and he's just charisma.
And yeah, I loved Adrian Brody.
Outdoes everybody in the film. You're like, why isn't everybody like this?
And then Hong Chau's in it and you're like, why? Like, why? Why are you here? Why are you in this tiny role that is like a throwaway nothing? Like, they gave you nothing to work with. What was the point? Like, she's one of the coolest actors out there right now. And you gave her like nothing. Like, you gave her like two lines basically in a throwaway scene. This was a really overbloated cast. And I get why everyone wants to work with him. Like, I was watching an interview with one of the actors who was talking about how, like, every day when they would wrap filming, they would go back to, like, Wes's room and they would all eat together. And it was, like, a revolving table. Like, you'd sit with different people every night. But it was, like, every single night the whole cast got together. So it seems like a really cool, like, convivial set to be on. So I understand why people want to work with him. But, like, this was, like, that you did not need to have this many people and this many characters to try and follow in this thing. Like, I don't know. It just totally lost the plot for me.
Okay. I'm happy. Exactly. I thought I was the only one. So thank you.
I thought I was the only one until you said that you weren't hot on it.
I'm so happy.
It makes me really sad. Cause I love Wes Anderson. I'm not prepared to abandon that ship yet. But yeah, this one just really didn't do it. Watch Marina will watch it and she'll love it.
Well,
maybe.
All I have to say to you, Melissa, Pearl Jam high five. Pearl Jam high five.
Yes.
I saw this. Callback. Yeah, I saw this weird. It never opened in Canada, but it opened in the US to very small screen counts. The new Robert Rodriguez, Ben Affleck film, Hypnotic. Oh, have you guys heard of this one?
I've heard of it and I've seen the trailer. Yeah. And is Ben Affleck tired the whole movie?
Pretty much. It's a pretty sad film. Robert Rodriguez has kind of slipped. Remember when he used to be like really cool, like the digital camera guy,
Troublemaker Studios, all that kind
of
stuff.
And everything was like cutting edge, and he was like the guy on the cusp of showing everybody how to shoot digitally. Mm-hmm. This looks like shit. The movie's tired. Ben Affleck's tired. It's like a really bad Christopher Nolan film. And it's been delayed for years.
So disappointing. Yeah. That's so disappointing because Alita, I thought Alita was like him kind of coming back. Like I was like, ooh, this looks more like a Rodriguez film. Like obviously like way higher budget than anything he had done before. And of course working with Cameron and all that stuff. But I was like, yeah, we're getting back into like the fun Robert Rodriguez. But then I saw the trailer for this and it didn't even look like a film that he shot.
No,
it looks nothing like anything he did. I'm like, and this is like, cause I think it was just the 30th anniversary of El Mariachi, like not too long ago, like probably a couple months ago. And like, I mean, this is a filmmaker that hooked us with like his style, and it's sad to see that he's like so like tired in 2023.
No, he showed the world how to shoot digitally, making the Spy Kids films. Like those things were just shot after shot of like cool like digital composites, and oh, it's so good. But yeah, he seems to have lost it. It's what sucks. But next, did anybody see Past Lives?
No, it didn't come. To my town and
okay, I will just say it's one of the best films of the year, and I hope you guys get to see it soon. Might be talking about it later.
Good.
That's all I'm going to say. Nice. And the last film is Joyride, which is actually pretty funny, and then gets a really big heart in the third act, which totally surprised the shit out of me. And it's at this one actually kind of. Made me a little emotional.
Did you cry?
Not really. I just said emotional, Marina. Don't put words in my mouth. But
Bill cried, guys. Bill cried.
This is not Guardians of the Galaxy 3. but I cried more watching Guardians than I cried more watching Past Lives. But the person beside me was ugly whale crying in this film. She just was on the ground. It was hilarious. But everybody says it's like the Before trilogy. Think After Sun more.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just a little bit of a hint. Don't think it's going to be a talky walking film. It's After Sun more than Before trilogy. That's all I'm going to say about it. Cause you guys need to see it. And that is it for me.
Guys, I have movies. I actually saw stuff.
Yay!
And not just animation. I'm actually going to leave all the animation pretty much off the table just because most of it isn't coming out for a while yet. So I'll wait until it's actually out in the world and people have had a chance to see it. But I saw Nikki Caro's The Mother on Netflix, which I actually did not hate. Also not great, but it does really mark. I mean, Jennifer Lopez is a pretty decent actress. She really should be like an action star at this point. Like, just give her all the action movies. She looks the part. She can pull it off. She really does kick ass. I quite like her. And the movie was fine. It was okay.
Nikki Caro made Whale Rider.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
And Mulan. My
God. That is a film.
Yeah. And she also did Mulan, which is actually not bad.
Yeah. I didn't mind Mulan either. It's gorgeous. Mandy Walker shot that. And I love a Mandy Walker shot film. I really do.
Yep.
Nice.
I saw Blue Bayou. This was a plane movie. I watched That's this so on good. One of the long haul flights and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I saw Gook and I thought it was okay. I mean, Justin Chan, I basically knew him from Twilight. Let's be totally honest. This is the only thing I know him from. And then I saw Gook and which I thought was pretty good. And this, I didn't think was great. But it really got me at the end. I actually did cry. I was literally ugly crying on the flight back from France because of this fucking movie. So there's that. So I have to give it some credit for the ugly cry.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but was it really ugly?
Yeah, it's not the best looking movie. And I mean, I saw it on a screen that's like 8.5 by 11, if that.
It was shot on like 4mm film or something like that. Like,
yeah, it's really probably
grainy. It's grainy.
Yeah, it's very grainy. It's a bit dark in places. It looks a bit green all over, which I'm not quite sure if it was the screen or just like how it was shot. But he's pretty decent, and Alicia Vikander is really great. But it, I mean, emotionally, it actually does manage to hit the spot.
Yeah.
I really did, in the end, enjoy it more than I thought I would.
Yeah,
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yes.
This movie
was so fun. I love this. I love this. And I have forgotten. I know we had this conversation about why people weren't going to see it. And we were trying to figure out if like who their target audience is. I'm the target audience. The woman that's at home, that read the books and remembers this, and is sitting at home with a glass of wine watching this movie going, oh my God, I totally remember this. Melissa, do you remember the chant?
So I haven't seen the movie yet. I still need to watch it. But
do you remember the chant from the book?
No.
I must.
Oh, increase my bus. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure we all did that at like 10 or 11 or something. Yeah.
Pretty much. And that scene hit and I was like, okay, I know who this movie is for. It's for me. It's really good. It's very charming. It's very sweet. Abby Ryder Forston is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Rachel McAdams is the best. I literally put a little heart next to her name. I love her.
And Benny Safdie and Kate.
It's just weird. It's just weird. Okay. It's just weird.
I remember when I said I had watched it and I said that Benny Safdie was in it. And I remember Melissa's like, oh, that's a definite plus. It was a plus for you?
It's definitely a plus.
Really? Is Benny Safdie secretly a like sex symbol that I don't know about here or something?
He's pretty hot.
He's just interesting. I just think he's interesting. And I think he's good and everything. Mm-hmm. And he makes like really bizarre, interesting choices.
And this is it. I mean, because he's in it for like, I don't know, a blink of a second. Like he's hardly in it. He plays a very small role. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's good. And I think more than anything, it's the same thing that Melissa says. It's just an interesting choice. Like you don't expect the guy that made
some uncut gems in a Judy Blume movie.
Exactly.
he has a line in the Oppenheimer trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, Betty Safdie, right on.
Making moves.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Jack Quaid's in Oppenheimer. That got me. I was like, yes. All right. I'm into
Isn't all of Hollywood in Oppenheimer at this point?
I think so.
No, all of Hollywood was in Asteroid City.
Right, right. And then they moved on to Oppenheimer. They all got naked and got with Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Hey, I would get naked with Cillian Murphy. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, I've loved him since 28 Days Later. He's been a man crush since then. And then he made Breakfast on Pluto, and I'm like, you're gorgeous.
The wind that shakes the barley.
Oh, yeah. See, nothing. I mean, once you start torturing a man, nothing brings it out. Like, nothing brings out the sex symbol like getting tortured.
Oh, guys.
Ken Loach's Palme d'Or.
Yes.
Yeah.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. I will only say it is as good as you guys said it was. A bit long. But much, much better than I anticipated. Like, much, much better than I anticipated.
I don't know the dude's name, but how good was that guy?
Dar Salim.
Yeah.
He's fucking awesome. I looked him up and I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, very good.
The tension in that movie. Oh, such good tension.
Yeah, I was really, really impressed. And like I say, it feels a little bit long, but overall, I thought it was really good. And it was nice to see some of the, like, the Guy Ritchie-isms make their appearance. Because it's been a while, but I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, so, that's cool. Yeah. I'm glad you caught up with it.
I'm probably the only person that saw and liked this, but I really enjoyed Mafia Mama. Don't hate me.
I enjoy it on the Toni Collette level.
Yeah, I mean, it's super silly, but it's also really funny, and there are very, very few directors that will put a dismemberment in a comedy and actually show you like a body being cut up in a bathtub. Like you actually get the shot and it's hilarious. And I'm like, only Catherine Hardwicke can make this work.
Yeah, they pushed the gore a bit.
They totally pushed the gore.
I was surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's very silly, but I really, really had fun with it. And Toni Collette's amazing. And here's the mic drop. I did not like Guardians at all. I thought the first 30 minutes with the whole story of Rocket was really sweet and really emotional. And then it just devolves into another action movie. I don't know, man. I was thinking about this earlier. Because on the one hand, I'm like, it's great to see auteur directors that maintain their voice in like big properties like, you know, a Marvel or a DC movie or whatever. But on the other hand, it can get really grating. And James Gunn has migrated from really fun and cool and, oh my God, this is awesome, to like, this is now just fucking irritating. I'm done with the music. I'm done with the crazy sequences. I'm just done. I'm just done. The last hour of this movie was painful. Dan legitimately fell asleep 30 minutes in. It's like 2.5 hours long. He fell asleep.
I had the opposite reaction as you, Marina, because I went into this expecting to really not care about it at all. And the only reason I watched it was because of Bill Harris's endorsement. And
why I watched it.
And then I was like, okay, I got to give it to Bill. He's right. It's actually, it has like some good emotional beats to it. The action sequences were fun. I loved the soundtrack personally. Yeah, I don't know.
Steve was also a big fan.
Yeah. Wait for my top five.
Oh, I know. I don't know. It didn't really work for me. I mean, and like, don't get me wrong. Independently, the music is awesome. I'm kind of done with, this is not the kind of song that I would expect to go with this sequence. I don't know. It's just kind of, it feels old now. I was just kind of bored by it. Maybe I saw it when I was still jet lagged. I don't know. Will I watch it again? Probably not. At this point, I'm just done with it. I'm more concerned about the fact that James Gunn is now at DC and what is he going to fuck up for me now? It's kind of where I'm at. But.
Do I come with a zinger here?
Go for it.
Well, you like Twilight.
I do like Twilight, and I am damn proud of it. Try to take that away from me. You can't.
The first Twilight movie is pretty great, though. I mean, it looks Twilight fantastic.
And then Eclipse are the best of the bunch.
I mean, the rest of them you can throw away, but the first one is that the Catherine Hardwick one. Thumbs up.
I didn't register a like on it until David Slade came into it.
Yeah, Eclipse.
Yeah.
Which was actually really decent.
Yeah. And which is just like, I was only into it for Jasper's backstory. I was like, kind of cool. Very Bill Compton, but it's kind of cool.
I saw like a meme about that. How like every vampire has this like
Confederate Southern or Civil War
Confederate story. History. Like,
okay. All I have to say is thank you, Melissa. Thank you.
Secretly in the back of his mind, he's like, fuck you, Marina. Fuck you. All right, Melissa, do you have any movies you want to talk about before we get into our top fives?
Well, I am slightly disturbed that it seems that Bill and I are sharing a brain these days because we have the same take on Asteroid City and the same take on Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't cry. I did come close a couple times, but.
Oh, come on. When Rocket's like points to his head and goes like, ouch, or head or something. Yeah, you didn't cry?
I cried so much in that.
I'm an unfeeling brute compared to you, Bill. Okay. I don't know.
I'm a heartless bitch, so whatever.
I care nothing for you, CGI creature. Nothing!
I actually thought the whole Rocket thing was actually really, really sweet. I just didn't like any of the rest of it. That's all. Sorry.
Whatever.
Okay, so what I've just been catching up with stuff that we've already talked about on the show. So, finally saw Creed 3. I know, like, I don't know why it took me this long to finally see it. I will say though, I'm like really saddened by this story that's come out about Jonathan Majors, and it's just interesting to me, like compare and contrast like Ezra Miller and Jonathan Majors. It's like they're like reshooting parts of Marvel movies to remove him from that stuff, right? And then like Ezra Miller gets he actually took somebody hostage. like this, like it's I don't know, it's kind of crazy. I do hope, like the guy is really talented. And it's really interesting to me, like, that the theme of Creed 3 really is about, like, should you be using violence to solve your problems? And then the story comes out about Jonathan Majors, and it's like, dude, did you, like, pay attention to your own movie? I do hope that he gets help with whatever it is that's going on.
Did I read a story on the internet that said that the reason that he's saying that he did all this stuff because he was method acting?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I haven't read that.
I read that somewhere that he's blaming that he was just full method and he was in a weird mind space. And yeah, that'll hold up in court, sir.
Well, I mean, first his team came out denying that any of it ever happened. So if they've switched gears and are now blaming it on method acting, that is incredibly weak.
It's pretty poor.
I just think it's really sad. I think people deserve a second chance when they fuck up and when they hurt people. Like, they do deserve a second chance to, like, get better and seek help and get treatment for their issues and hopefully become a person that no longer does those kinds of things. And I really do hope that for him, because I think he's a guy with, you know, a lot of talent and who had a lot of things going for him. But I also, you know, I also in no uncertain terms condone violence against women. So, it's interesting to me, like, this. I really want to read, there's a book out now that's, what is it called? Monsters. And it's looking at, like, how we approach art that's made by people who are incredibly flawed or monstrous. You know, like one of my favorite movies is Chinatown. Roman Polanski's an ass. Like, I'm sorry, but there's no way you fuck a 13-year-old. I don't care if she's come out later on saying it was consensual or not. She's 13 years old. Like, as an adult, like, can you imagine, like, fucking a 13-year-old girl? Like, no, he's a scumbag. But Chinatown is, like, brilliant and has all this, like, feminist subtext in it. I find it really hard to reconcile my feelings for that film with my feelings for Polanski. I'd just really like to read this book, because I think it's a question that we grapple with all the time. And, like, it's not that I think we should be, like, canceling people, because, again, like, people can fuck up and make mistakes and hopefully they redeem themselves or, like, get help or, you know, become better people. But yeah, like, what do we do with art that's made by people who are just morally repugnant? It's a really good question, and I don't feel like I have a very good answer for it. Anyway, that was sort of a massive tangent. What else did I see? I finally caught up with How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which I really liked. I did wish that there was, like, a bit more tension in that film, to be honest. I thought it could have gone a little further that way. But it's a super timely piece of work right now. And it was, it was a great caper film too. Just a great caper film.
I caught up with this as well. And I just want to add that it's probably one of the best uses of flashback that I've seen in a movie in the last few years. Like, I can't remember a movie that used flashback this effectively. I thought that was really, really well done and well handled.
Yeah, it's true. And it doesn't, so even though it's not, like, a fully linear narrative, because you have these flashback sequences, at no time is it unintelligible. Like, you always know where you are in the story. I thought that was, I agree. I think that was, like, super, super well done. I also caught up with Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which the most realistic thing about that movie is, I'm stealing this from the internet, is an 80-year-old professor who refuses to retire. but it was fun. I mean, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was fun. And it felt like it captured the spirit of the 80s Indiana Jones movies. So I appreciated that, like, kind of nostalgic bent to it.
I'm sorry, if Indiana Jones didn't jump the shark with the whole alien thing, it jumped the shark, spoiler alert, with fucking time travel. Like, what the actual fuck? I don't know. I'm with you. It was great. Helen is fantastic, but the rest of it, I could do without.
I liked it. I totally forgot about this film for some reason.
I liked it a lot.
Because this is how memorable it is.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's just, the fact that Mission Impossible now is coming like so close 2 weeks after it is just, and it is a movie that's going to bowl other movies over in your mind when it comes to movies like this. But I really did like Dial of Destiny. I feel Mangold does a hell of a Spielberg impression.
Yeah.
He's
a really solid director.
I can't hate really James Mangold for the life of me. There's nothing that man has done wrong to me. I've enjoyed all of his films to differing degrees, but like I've been on board with him, not Kate and Leopold or Copland. I've been on board since then, but like Identity hooked me in. He's done a lot.
I'm totally with you. Like for me, like when I saw his name attached, I'm like, okay, at least we're in the like good hands with this movie. And I didn't hate it. Like I just think the whole time travel thing was a bit too much. I don't think Indiana Jones was the vehicle for that as much as, you know, he's into like this weird stuff. It's fine. Like it really is. It's enjoyable. It's fun. I actually thought the whole de-aging thing worked quite well.
Yeah, I did it really well.
It maybe didn't need to be quite that long, but it was okay. No big deal. Technically it looked amazing. The movie was just kind of like, I don't know, okay at best. Well, I don't know.
They just couldn't call it Indiana Jones and his personal sense of closure. It just because that's what the end of the movie, like Archimedes. He gets to be feet away from Archimedes. And you know what I mean? He gets one last adventure. He gets to beat up Nazis again. And then he gets
me this is done.
And then he gets like, Marianne at the Nazis. End. It's closure. The whole entire last act of the movie and like into the credits is closure. That's what this movie is about. It's about wrapping it up for Harrison Ford because I think this was also part of a secret deal for him to come back and play Han Solo for Disney. Disney buys the rights to Indiana Jones, does one last Indiana Jones that fixes the fissure and what that caused in his life because the Kingdom of Crystal Skull and sends him out nicely into the sunset. And they killed Mutt.
Nice.
Right? They killed Mutt. In one line, they killed Mutt. Yeah. And it was like a good like emotional beat, but it was just like at the same time I was like, oh.
Dan did the same thing. He's like, do they really just like with one line? I'm like, yep.
Yeah, they killed Mutt.
Yeah. So if you're gonna do it, that is the way to do it. Like, why drag it out?
Yeah, exactly.
So that film cost $300 million
and made
didn't even open to $100 million and then got beat second week box office wise by Insidious. Red Door.
Yeah.
The fifth movie in that series.
So was word of mouth that bad on it, or were people just not like, I don't really care about Indiana Jones?
I think the second one, and it's sad.
Yeah. I think people will just watch it eventually when it's on Disney Plus. They're just no interest in it.
No.
I don't think there's really a place for this kind of story in 2023, to be honest. I don't think there is like a place for this kind of like adventurous archaeologist who's an expert in all cultures and like steals all of these artifacts to put in museums. Like we're in a place now where indigenous peoples are actually reclaiming artifacts from museums. Like we're seeing what the harms of archaeology and this kind of approach to archaeology have rent in community in like peoples that still live and exist among us. And so I really don't think that this is the time to be putting out, you know, the heroic archaeologist movie.
And honestly, can we just be done with the Nazis? The fucking Nazis, done. Like, just get over it.
Except that we're not done with them, Marina. Like, that was the one thing about the movie where I was like, okay, like, yes, maybe we need more movies with the Nazis as the bad guys because clearly white supremacy and Nazism is having a resurgence.
Okay, well, that is, but, like, not the way that they're portrayed in this movie. Like, I don't actually understand what the point of this was. Like, to tie it back to the original, like, the only reason we have that first 40 minutes of young Indy is to set up this story. So literally, it's just because it takes place in, what, the 40s or whatever? I don't know. I'm just done. Like, I'm totally not with you. Like, yes, this is still a problem, but we don't need to blame it on the Nazis. It's not just the Nazis now. Like, That's like an easy way to wrap it into like this cultural thing that we all know. That's not what it is. Like, it's just stupid white men. No offense, guys. Yeah.
I guess it's a bad time for me to say that I forgot to include a movie and that I saw Zizou and I loved it, which is more Nazi shit.
I love that movie too, actually.
Oh, that movie's so good. It's like spaghetti Western, like one man army doesn't speak the whole movie, just kills Nazis. Like, it's my movie. I love it. Oh, it's so visceral. Oh, there's just so much goodness to that movie. And what's his name? Yorma Tamila. He was in Rare Exports as well. Yeah. Oh man, that guy rocks. Just give him a franchise and let's go.
I like how it's kind of weirdly like feels like a Tarantino film at times.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. That movie.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Sorry, I forgot. And then you're like, can we be done with Nazis? I'm like, I'm not done with Nazis yet.
So, and listen, I'm going to watch some war movie that's got Nazis and I'm going to be fine with it. I'm having a moment. So
so no National Treasure film next summer for Marina. Okay.
Oh, I'll probably watch it. Come on. I'll watch a National Treasure movie. I'll probably watch a Lara Croft movie. Like, give me all of the action movies. I don't really care. Like I said, I'm having a moment. I was just, more than anything, I was disappointed. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. Nazis again.
They should make a National Treasure movie and have Shia LaBeouf in it and call him Matt.
Williams, and he wears pork pie hat.
He doesn't swing with monkeys. He swings with bats. I don't know. I like it.
Oh, God. All right. Melissa, any other movies you want to mention before we move on to our top fives?
No, it's okay. We've already talked about everything else I've seen. So, yeah.
Before we do our top five, The Bear season 2 is the best TV show of the year. Better than Succession. And that really scares me because I thought Succession was pretty much the greatest show I'd seen in a very long time. Then I watched The Bear season 2 and I was like, wow, this is absolutely brilliant.
It is. You are not under or overpraising this show. It, like, season 1 was amazing. Season 2 is that much better. And I watched it in like literally like one day.
Might be one of the greatest shows ever made, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Was it again? Baby, I love Taylor Swift too. I just needed a break. I love Richie so much.
It's really, really good.
The Christmas dinner episode might go down.
Maybe the best episode of TV this year, and maybe one of the best Christmas episodes of anything ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys seeing the Jeremy Allen White and Gene Wilder side by sides?
No.
No, but you don't need a side by side to see it.
It's a new meme. It says you all aren't ready to have this conversation. And it's Gene Wilder.
But really, really different energy.
Definitely. Like, but I could see, I don't know, because Jeremy's just starting in his career, kind of. Like, I know he did 10 years on a series already, but like The Bear is catapulting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he got rid of his wife, right?
Right. Which is such a sad, my wife told me that when we were watching it the other day, and I was like, you fucking serious? Like, it bummed me out. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. I didn't actually know that. That's kind of
very Hollywood. Yeah.
Yes, so Hollywood. Ended. He went and worked with Efron on the Von Erichs movie, which I'm really excited for. Being a pro wrestling fan.
That's Sean Durkin.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I'm excited for that.
What? Come again?
He's doing a new Sean Durkin film.
Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the important question about The Bear season 2. Mm. Who has better hair? Carmi or Luca? Will Poulter's character?
I haven't even seen season 2 yet, but Will Poulter looks fucking hot in that. I was like, oh my God.
I'm going with Melissa on this, and Melissa, the energy is like unparalleled.
What's the conversation about Poulter in Guardians? What did you think of him in Guardians?
I thought he was really good. I was surprised to see him. Right? I didn't actually expect him at all.
I love that he takes the piss out of it. I really enjoyed that, actually.
Every second. every...
Yeah, like he is not taking this thing seriously at all, and that is brilliant to me.
Yeah.
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 You guys can have your Will Poulter and the bear, and I can have my Molly Gordon.
Okay.
I love her.
Yes.
Love her.
She's pretty great.
What are we feeling about Theater Camp? She wrote and directed and stars in it, right?
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I don't know. I still feel the Dear Evan Hansen stink on me from seeing Ben Platt in anything right now. So I don't know. Fuck that movie.
God, I hate that movie.
While we're on TV, did anyone else watch the travesty that was The Idol?
My wife watched it. Seen it yet. She watched four out of five.
I watched three episodes.
It is the worst television show ever made. Like, I don't know how this happened.
I don't know.
It's horrible. I don't understand how somebody who made Euphoria, which is one of the greatest shows that's come out in the last 5 years, turned around and turned in this turd. Like, it is an absolute turd. There's nothing redeeming about it at all.
It's because he didn't make it. Amy Simetz made it, shot half the show. She left because of stuff nobody will talk about. Oh. Yeah, well, we all know what it was, but nobody's talking.
Supposedly creative differences with The Weeknd, but like... Yeah. And the story that came out in Rolling Stone was that the show under her leadership was from a much more female perspective. Because it's like really porny and like not even in a hot way. Like,
episode one, not, gross. That's where I kind of only seen.
It doesn't get better. Like, I kept watching, like, I was like, but Sam Levinson, like, maybe it'll get better. And then, no, it does not. It never gets better. Wow. It's like watching a train wreck. Like, I don't think I've seen anything worse on TV.
The Weeknd, actor.
But also, okay, here's the thing I don't understand. Like, The Weeknd, like, I like The Weeknd's music. I own his albums. I think he's a brilliant pop musician. Why is all the music in this show awful? Like, and then you watch something like Daisy Jones and the Six, which is not a great show, but that soundtrack fucking rules. It is fantastic. And like, that's all just music that was written for the show. How do you have The Weeknd doing pop music and none of these songs are anything you would ever want to listen to again in your life? Like, it just makes no sense to me.
Plus, it was announced as 6 episodes, and all of a sudden, it's only 5.
I heard production people saying it was only supposed to be 5, like on Twitter and stuff. So I
don't know.
It's so weird. This whole
project, also the way it ends is very weird. Like, everything about it is not fully formed. It was really bad. They shouldn't have put it out. They really shouldn't have put it out.
Wow.
And Lily Rose Depp,
I'm sorry, she can't act to save her fucking life. I think she's totally talentless, and she's a like massive nepo baby. There's nothing compelling about her at all.
I could tell her incredible acting range when I saw her in the Kevin Smith film Yoga Hosers.
Yeah.
I didn't mind her in Wolf, the one with George McKay.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I saw that movie at TIFF. It cost me $25 to rent.
Well, I've now seen more of her nipples than I ever really have ever wanted to. So,
I should be on the Blu-ray box. I've seen enough of Lily Rose Depp's nipples than I would ever want.
I mean, even if you liked them, it would be too much, I think. I don't know.
That's the quote right there.
Yeah.
It's too bad too, because Susanna Son from
I love her. I know she actually is good in this movie because she's kind of playing Strawberry again, sort of.
No, but you know what happened? She left too.
Oh, fuck.
Did she?
Yeah, that's why she disappears.
No, she's in it right till the end. She's in it right till episode 5.
Okay, I didn't see the ending, so I didn't know that. But yeah. I heard that she like took off, like didn't want anything to do with the show anymore. So,
well, she's still promoting it on her Instagram, so I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's weird because the Rolling Stone article said that she took off.
She's still in it, and she's probably one of the best parts, but essentially, she is playing Strawberry again.
Totally, and Rachel Sennott's in it too, who I really like.
Yes, but they gave her a character that is nothing but like anxious. and
just watch.
She has nothing to do. It's like you've got this great actress, and then you give her like nothing to do.
Just watch Shiva Baby again. That movie rules.
Yeah, that movie is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only good thing about The Idol is what's her name? Jane, the Canadian actress.
Jane Addams.
She is phenomenal, and she's the only reason to watch The Idol. Her and Eli Roth actually are fucking brilliant.
Eli Roth in it.
They are so great as like nasty industry people. Like they're fantastic.
And Hank Azaria,
Jane Addams. Right? Yeah. But it's really like Jane Addams is like, she's just such a delightful bitch.
Honestly, I thought you would have tapped out before me, Melissa. Honestly,
I was like a train wreck. I couldn't look away, Mel. I had to know. Cause then like there was all this stuff coming out about how like, oh, you think it's a super misogynist show. Just wait till the end. We'll blow your mind. And then of course I get to the end. And I'm like, well, it's still a piece of shit show. Like it's still an absolute piece of shit show. I'm sorry. But no, it didn't redeem itself in the end.
Okay, definitely not watching this. I'm just not going to bother. Clearly, I don't need to. So,
just such for HBO.
It's an amusing hate watch, but I love that there's like actual still talk about like a season two. I'm like, there's not going to be a season two of this piece of garbage. Why would there be a season two? There should have been a season one.
And you know what, Steve? There is so much good TV that I need to watch that I don't need to hate watch anything at this point. Like, honestly, there's enough good stuff that I haven't caught up on. And oh, I just looked. Season two of Foundation starts on Friday, so
yes.
I got that to look forward to.
I just watched episode one. I hadn't seen it. I wanted to watch it, and then I just kind of like I don't know filed it away somewhere, and then I watched episode one. I'm like, this is fucking cool, like, and it's Isaac Asimov, so I'm like, that's really really cool.
The books are not. They're not my favorite Asimov. They're problematic. And because of the way that they're written, they really have nothing to do with the movie. But the show is really great.